Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 216. I'm Rob Wright, Security News Director at TechTarget, and I am here with Senior Security News Writer Alex Kalafi. Alex, welcome.
Thanks, Rob.
How are you doing today?
It's busy out there. That's how I'm doing.
Yeah. It has been a busy July. Well, we're in August now. We are recording this the morning of August 2nd.
Yep.
Wednesday. Sorry, I almost said Tuesday. I have Patch Tuesday on the mind.
Mm-hmm.
We have Black Hat bearing down on us for next week. And we're here to discuss why it was such a busy July for us, thanks to Microsoft. We're going to discuss one of several things that I guess occurred with Microsoft last month. And this is arguably the biggest. There was a busy Patch Tuesday. There were some 0 days. There were other attacks that were disclosed. But there was one attack in particular that caught a lot of attention, and rightfully so. The Storm 0558 attacks and the mystery of the stolen MSA key,
mm-hmm.
which has still persisted, this mystery. Yep. And we're still looking for answers. And we've been debating whether or not to jump in and pod about this and wait for more information. But at this point, I don't know that any more information is going to come in the near future, maybe down the road, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
But it's time, Alex. It's time to get into this. There's a lot of moving parts to this one. Why don't you sort of summarize the first couple stages of this evolving story for us?
Sure. So Microsoft disclosed early to middle July. I think it was like the 12th or 13th.
12th, I think, yeah.
The 12th. That a threat actor, who is a China-based threat actor tracked as Storm 558, had breached email accounts using Outlook web access and Exchange Online and Outlook.com by forging authentication tokens. The attackers gained access to approximately 25 organizations using this key that they should not have had, including United States government agencies. At the time, I think they just said government agencies, but then it became clear that it was that an FCEB, a federal civilian executive branch, at least, was caught up in this attack.
Mm.
And what I think was the most interesting thing about all this was not even that there were these Azure flaws, issues, vulnerabilities, what have you, or that it was a crazy attack, or the government, U.S. government official got compromised. Maybe that's the craziest part. But to me, the craziest part was that the FCEB only realized that they had been attacked because they had, I think it was an E5 or G5 Azure license, which gave them the enhanced logging capabilities to actually determine that they were under attack, and that this paywalled enhanced logging feature in Azure was the only reason they knew they had been compromised.
Mm-hmm.
Which resulted in a big kerfuffle, which may have been earned. And as a result, Microsoft announced what I think was clearly in response to the criticism from the security community, that they would provide more enhanced logging capabilities to those with either free or low-end licenses.
Yes.
Which I don't know if it reaches complete logging capabilities, but is at least more. And that'll be rolling out in September.
Yes.
And so there's a few angles. You have the cloud angle of, you know, Microsoft and a lot of vendors sort of not being very transparent about cloud vulnerabilities. And Microsoft did face some criticism for like not really calling these issues vulnerabilities, but also not really taking complete blame, kind of for not disclosing their investigation or being transparent about their investigation. So you have the cloud stuff. Then you have the paywalled cloud logging issues. And then you have the fact that a U.S. government entity got breached as a result of this attack by a China Nexus actor, which resulted in even more criticism, such as Oregon Senator Ron Wyden publishing an open letter Easterly, Director Easterly from CISA, I think Lena Khan from FTC, and who's the third one? There's a third one.
Yeah, I don't have the letter in front of me, but you're right. It was addressed to three people.
To three people, the heads of their respective agencies, basically saying that Microsoft should be investigated for cybersecurity negligence. And that's where we're kind of at today in a broad sense. How do you feel about that overview?
I think that's a pretty good overview. And I think, you know, I was going to go into the, you know, I mentioned the mystery of the MSA key, the Microsoft customer account key, but I want to stay with the logging for a moment because I think that's been resolved, and that's been something that, you know, I guess we got to give Microsoft credit for. So starting with the CISA alert that the agency released on the same day as Microsoft's blog post about the Storm 558 attack, CISA put out this advisory saying, basically saying that the government detected this attack, these attacks, these compromises first. An unnamed, civilian agency, FCEB agency, detected unusual activity in its, I think it was its M365 environment, not Azure, but regardless, detected unusual activity. And there's technical details about what they detected and what looked strange to the agency security team, but good for them. They caught it. But as you pointed out, they only caught it because they had this enhanced logging capability for, I believe it's G5 government customers or G5, I think, corporations and enterprises are E5.
Gotcha.
But they had the G5 M365 licensing, which gave them this advanced sort of logging capabilities. And was it the day after? Was it that Wednesday, July 12th, or was it the day after that? I think we can say this, that CISA sort of invited press to a sort of hastily called conference call that was for background purposes, so we can't say what was on it, but use your imagination as to what it was about. You were on that call. Was it that Wednesday or was it Thursday?
No, I think REO was on that call. I was on.
Oh,
I was on
that's
the,
right. Sorry,
I was on the last call the government got compromised on. Honest mistake.
That's so sad. Yeah, you're right. Now that you say that, it was Ariel. Shout out to Ariel, who made her first podcast appearance on our last episode. Yeah. Yes, that's right. Now I recall she was on it, and they were, it was for background purposes. Again, we can't say what was on it. But later that month, I think it was the following week, I think it was the 18th or 19th, Microsoft announced, hey, in response to this recent series of attacks, we are going to expand cloud logging capabilities for customers at no additional charge, no additional fees. So, and not only that, they said that, I believe, in addition to a wider range of cloud logs, the same type of logs that gave that agency the red flags it needed to investigate and determine that they had been compromised. In addition to that wider range, they said that they're going to increase default logging retention for the purview audit standard level. I think it was from 90 to 180 days. So, 90 days is what you should have, like, minimum.
Right.
180 days is good. That's good. I mean, they did the right thing. Now, had they not had that agency not had that logging capability, they never would have detected this. And CISA said that in no uncertain terms when they published that post, that advisory on the same day. They said, the only reason we caught this was because we got, I think it was mailed items accessed events that got logging data related to that activity, which I think, if memory serves, is like logs when mail items are accessed remotely, something of that nature. Regardless, seems like some pretty pertinent logging data, and I'm glad that they made that free for customers instead of charging them, you know, more or requiring them to have the strongest, highest license for M365.
But, and we can't emphasize this enough, kind of a scary thing to hear from the U.S. government.
Yes. Yes. Again, can't say what was on that call, but I think if you follow the story and you read that CISA post and you saw what came from Microsoft and the praise that Easterly and other folks gave Microsoft for reacting to this quickly and doing an about face with this, you know, the expansion of the logging capabilities, I think it's pretty clear what they were concerned about and what they talked about. Anyway, so the thing that stood out to me from this initially, Alex, I mean, you had mentioned what stood out to you. I thought it was pretty interesting that a federal agency, a civilian agency, so not an intelligence agency, not military, not defense, a civilian agency caught this. It's pretty good. Right. It's pretty good. So Microsoft didn't see it, and, you know, a security vendor didn't catch it. It was this agency, and they reported it to CISA. CISA and the FBI reported it to, or they investigated. I think CISA reported it to Microsoft, and they joined the investigation. And good, sort of a happy ending on that, I would say. What's not happy? What's not happy is the MSA key. As you mentioned, the Storm 588 actors acquired a Microsoft account sign-in key, an MSA key, and they exploited a token validation issue. I'm making air quotes, token validation issue, to forge authentication tokens and impersonate users and get into those Outlook and Exchange Online accounts and exfiltrate. I think CISA said they said no classified data, if I remember correctly. So the agencies that were affected, they had compromised email accounts, but nothing, you know, classified was taken from those accounts. So Microsoft puts that blog post out on the 12th and says, you know, they acquired the key, and everybody's sitting there going, huh? How? Where did they get the key? I mean, there was rampant speculation from various threat analysts, security researchers about what happened and why there wasn't more detail. And then the following week, I guess in response to all the questions and criticism, Microsoft puts out a follow-up post that says, hey, we're still investigating. We, you know, to summarize, we don't know how they acquired this key, but we're still looking into it. And, you know, thanks for your patience. And they also said that the key was inactive, which was very puzzling and had a lot of people scratching their heads.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are. It's August 2nd. It's been a few weeks. Still no word about how they got this key. But even, I guess, maybe not as important, because we'll circle back to the key in a moment. The token validation issue, to your point, it sounds a lot like a vulnerability, a cloud vulnerability. Maybe it was a software vulnerability. Who knows? But at least a cloud vulnerability, they didn't say anything about it being a zero day, or didn't say anything, didn't use the V word.
And honestly, even if it's not a vulnerability, it sounds like a zero-day issue.
Yeah. So that was surprising. We know they've come under a lot of heat in the past couple years for, and not just them, like you mentioned, cloud providers just sort of not being transparent and disclosing when there's an issue because they feel like, hey, if no customer action is required, then no big deal. Mm-hmm. But it seems like, I don't know, there seems like there's a lot of frustration and criticism being levied against Microsoft for stuff like this. And I know you're working on something and I don't want you to delve too deep into that. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
My immediate thoughts are, one, I guess I would say that we don't exactly know the full scope of this issue. So I'll be a little careful, but what I will say is Microsoft has a history of not being transparent with its Azure vulnerabilities, whether it's times where researchers and vendors would submit bugs and they would be silently patched. I'm not talking about bug bounty stuff. I've actually heard Microsoft's bug bounty stuff can be inconsistent, but is generally like pretty right. good.
For a large organization, pretty good. Yeah.
Pretty good. So it's not that, but I'm talking about like the vendor level stuff where it's like, hey, my team at vendor X found this. There are a lot of times when stuff would be silently patched. I also think of the LinkedIn blog post that Tenable's CEO, Amit Yoren, wrote last summer, where he was basically criticizing Microsoft for not being transparent about its cloud vulnerabilities. A year before any of this happened. And although this isn't strictly the same issue, I would go back to the SolarWinds issue a little bit from a few years ago, where Microsoft wouldn't even agree that it was compromised, which I know is a different issue, but it's emotionally on the same page, I feel like, where there was a lot of disagreement of whether Microsoft had been compromised by the SolarWinds actors or whether it was compromised via SolarWinds, and it was it's like, oh, there was no source code. Well, actually there was source code that was stolen up. Well, there wasn't this. Well, actually there was this. And then by the time all the information came out, it was pretty much nothing, or not nothing, but it wasn't like a huge deal, but it was one of the most high profile times of Microsoft, if not covering up, not being clear about how affected they were.
Right.
Or even how much they knew if they weren't sure.
Yeah. Downplaying. Downplaying or minimizing. And
that's my point, is that I can't speak to the nitty gritty of this, but there's a trend of this kind of thing happening for at least the last few years.
Yeah. And a lot of people did seize upon, you know, the token validation issue. That sounds serious. And there's very little information in these posts about what that issue was, how it was resolved, if there's any indication that it was exploited before this. And it just, I don't know. It just seems like it ruffled a lot of feathers, and there are a lot of questions from folks like us about, wait a minute, this seems pretty bad. Mm-hmm. If somebody was able to take an inactive MSA key and exploit a quote unquote token validation issue and do this, just access Outlook accounts, Exchange Online accounts, just zip right in and just start downloading email. And I know, classified data was taken from those agencies, at least that we know of. Mm-hmm. But my goodness, and we're talking about a China-based threat actor. Usually these guys are pretty skilled. I get that, but man, it seems like these posts, both posts, are lacking a lot of detail, a lot of pertinent detail. Circling back to the MSA key.
Mm-hmm.
This is really unusual. So again, Microsoft says it doesn't know how the MSA key was acquired.
Yep.
But It just seems really strange to me that Microsoft can't say, you know, we've ruled out that this key was taken from within our network. They don't have any like log data or records or any type of evidence, forensic evidence that could rule that out for them.
Yeah. And
similarly, there's no information. There's no forensic evidence in any of the 25 organizations or so that were impacted that indicate that the attackers got into that agency first and lifted the key from the customer environment. Again, I know the China-based threat actor. I get it. You know, nation state actors from that country are particularly skilled and adept and good at covering their tracks and covering up evidence and whatnot. But it just seems a little strange, especially when an agency, you know, that FCEB agency caught them in the act. So, which I'm sure they were not expecting. Mm-hmm. I feel pretty confident in saying that if they thought anything was going to happen, the Storm 588 actors, they were not expecting an agency to detect this. I don't know. Am I obsessing about the MSA key a little too much?
I don't think you're obsessing about it too much. I think the other perspective on this, and I don't know which one I agree with, but the other perspective on this is that it's not even necessarily the most unforgivable sin if they haven't figured that out yet, because
right.
Some of this stuff can be complicated. It's the lack of updates that I would say is more troubling, where we're still working on it, but we haven't found anything yet. Please be patient. Just a weekly something. Something, something, customers can contact us here, yada, yada, yada. And there is, my impression is that there really hasn't been that since that initial we're still investigating line.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great point. It's just, if they had come out and they had said, listen, in that first post, you know, we're still investigating how they acquired this key. We're looking into it. You know, hey, we feel it's likely it was taken from a customer environment, but, you know, we're still investigating, to at least set some minds at ease and say, hey, you know, we're admitting we don't know where this is at. We're working on it, but we're pretty sure it was not a direct compromise. Instead, with that July 12th post, you have people just assuming like, oh my God, did Microsoft get breached? How else would they have this MSA key? And, you know, then lo and behold, a bunch of experts come out and say, hey, you know, the key is stored on site. Not really sure why that is for MSA or sorry, M365 customers, regardless. But it's a great point to say that it's not that they don't know. It's that they're not being clear about what they don't know and maybe not upfront about what they think happened, because they must have an idea at this point. It gets worse though. And we'll wrap up with this. Cloud security startup Wiz, they put out a post about a week ago. I think it was July 21st, where they investigated the details of the, you know, security incidents related to Storm 558, and they analyzed the available information, and they were able to determine that what type of MSA key was acquired. And I believe they said it was a Azure tenant key. The compromised key acquired by Storm 0558 was a private key designed for Microsoft's MSA tenant in Azure. It was also able to sign OpenID version 2 tokens for multiple types of Azure Active Directory applications. Okay, that's bad. If you can get into different Azure Active Directory applications, that's not good. So that's not just your email. That's a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so they published this post, you know, we don't need to go into the technical details about it, but, you know, hey, this compromise key is much more impactful than maybe Microsoft was letting on. And here's the research and here's the information and here are the details. And I encourage folks to read it. Microsoft took issue with this and denied the research, basically, and said many of the claims in this blog are speculative and not evidence-based, yada, yada, yada. And then later sent a follow-up statement to the press that was similar, but less of a denial, and said, this blog highlights some hypothetical attack scenarios, but we've not observed those outcomes in the wild, end quote.
Mm-hmm.
Two very, very different sentences. Two very different sentences. Thoughts?
On Microsoft's response?
Responses.
My thoughts on Microsoft statements are, to me, it feels like one of two possibilities. The first possibility is that Microsoft sent a statement out and then they were dutifully corrected and Wiz felt validated. Mm. And that's sort of the way that I think we're both looking at it from the outside. The other possibility, I think, is that marketing product team was able to get their hands on the statement. They framed it this way, which is the way a lot of vendors do when they get defensive about something that calls them out, is you want to discredit it in some way. And then maybe someone from the security side was like, actually, this isn't the way we should be talking about this. Like, Microsoft's such a big organization that what exactly happened is kind of hard to determine. I think it's a bad look.
Right.
But it could also be the kind of thing where the wrong team got their hands on the initial statement, and this isn't the part we should be focusing on. That's the other thing. Or it could be that Microsoft got its lunch ate, right? That's the second possibility, and I have no idea which.
Well, I may be leaning to that last one, and here's why. So that post from Wiz came out on the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft issued those statements within hours. So it's August 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
If Wiz says this is the type of key that was used and this is the stuff that you can do with it and this is the stuff that may have happened or could have happened depending on, you know, what the threat actors were. If they outlined all that evidence, then I expect within a few days, unless there's a good reason not to do this, which I'm not aware of, but I expect them to put a third post out that says, you know, hey, there's a security vendor that put this report out that said it was this type of key. It's not, it's this. And further investigation has revealed X, Y, and Z that they, you know, abused this key and the key's capabilities are limited to this and so on and so forth. They didn't do that. They have been silent. There's been no additional details, at least that I've seen. So if Microsoft is in the right and this is a wild goose chase that Wiz is on, I would think that they would have something, you know, at least in the last week that says, hey, here's some more information about what's going on. We still can't tell you everything because, you know, hey, government agencies were involved and we don't want to blah, blah, blah. But there's been none of that. So I think that that's a bad sign for Microsoft.
Sure.
And that's fair. I wonder if we're going to get any, I'm not kidding about this. It's entirely possible that Microsoft, this is it. We're not going to get any more information from them.
Not unless they're forced to.
Well, that's So the Wyden inquiry, the letter, the heat that they're getting from other security vendors and researchers, potential heat from the government, the fact that there were agencies involved, the fact that CISA was concerned about the logging stuff. It's more likely that they're going to have more to provide more information, and that they will down the road. But it's just, it's really unsettling. And maybe, like I said, maybe there's a good reason that they haven't come out and said, Wiz is wrong, and here's why. And we can't give you all the details, but that's not the key that was used. As right now, everybody reads that Wiz post, and you know, I've seen some like nitpicks with it, but by and large, most of the folks that I follow on InfoSec Twitter and Mastodon, and most of the folks I read in the cloud security space say, yeah, you know, this lines up, this tracks, this is really interesting, it's good research. So now you just have people saying Wiz is right and Microsoft isn't owning up to this and isn't providing enough information, and they're on the wrong end of this. So
yeah,
not a great look for them. But we still don't know how they got the key, and we still don't know what specific key it was and what capabilities that key had, and why, for the love of God, if it was inactive, how they were able to use it. If it was inactive and they were, and the vulnerability, sorry, issue, the token validation issue allowed an inactive key to do that sort of damage, that is really bad. That's really bad. But there's still nothing that really explains like why the key was able to do what it did. It's just very strange. Very strange. So it feels like they're scrambling behind the scenes, but who knows? And I don't know that we're going to get any information over the next week, especially during Black Hat, but this is going to be one to watch, because a lot of people, like we've been talking about, are very concerned about where this investigation is at and the level of information that Microsoft has provided.
So, yeah.
So we'll see. A weird one, right? I mean, there's so many different avenues and tracks to this thing. And, you know, like we said, the logging situation, that's a happy ending. That's a good one for Microsoft. But this MSA key is looming over this situation like a very dark cloud. So,
yeah, I'm very curious to see if Microsoft's issues right now lead to market improvements in 6 months, or if this is only the latest in a string of kerfuffles.
Yeah. Well, we should leave it there. I mean, we could talk about this for another hour, probably. There's so many technical details and interesting tidbits to this.
And perhaps we will.
Yeah, there'll be more discussions down the road, likely. So, but Alex, thank you for joining me on this episode of the podcast. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Rob.
And thank you to the readers and listeners of the Risk and Repeat podcast and Tech Target Security. I'm Rob Wright, and we'll see you next time.